Hello, my name is Arash Masoodi. I'm going to present a Monte Carlo simulation technique for risk assessment of roadside applied herbicides. So here's a typical outline, and I will not go through it to save some time. So essentially, first of all, what is the problem? The problem is that actually transportation agencies typically apply herbicides along roadsides and to basically prevent weeds and to reduce the risk of fire and things like that. And these herbicides there's a concern that this herbicide may end up in receiving waters and cause environmental risk to aquatic ecosystem and so on. So basically what we wanted to use a mathematical model to evaluate the risk and then see how we can basically suggest some measures to reduce the risks. So this is a cartoon of the system. So what happens is basically they apply herbicides to the spray zone, as you see, and then during the storm, the runoff is accumulated on the highway surface, and then it passes over the spray zone, and then it carries herbicides to the receiving water. The first thing we attempted to build a deterministic physically based model to represent this phenomena, and every model is obviously a simplified version of the reality. So we had to make some simplifications, and the simplifying assumptions that we did here was actually we assumed that the flow was perpendicular to the highway. And then we also assumed that things doesn't change that significantly along the highway axis. So with these two assumptions, we could basically represent the system as a one-dimensional, basically, system. So this is kind of the conceptual model, as you see here. And I'm going to really go quickly through the basically the processes that we considered in the model and how we modeled them. We have to simulate flow and transport. And flow and transport both happens in two media. We have surface runoff and we have percolation. So for flow, we actually use the one-dimensional kinematic wave model for the surface runoff, and then for infiltration, we used a one-dimensional recharge equation. And then for fate and transport, we used advective dispersive transport in the surface water, and we coupled that with advective dispersive transport in soil. And then we obviously need to couple these two through soil-water mass exchange relationship. And then we used first-order decay for degradation of herbicides. This figure shows the discretization that we use to solve the governing equations. We only considered the top soil layer. We discretized that into two basically layers with thickness D1 and D2. And then we assume that everything that goes below basically the D2 layer is gone from the system and cannot contribute to the surface water. And then the complicated part here is actually how the runoff picks up herbicides that are sorbed to soil particles. And we couldn't find any physical model describing that process. But what we speculated was that we thought that, probably the mass exchange rate between the soil pore water and the runoff should be related to the flow velocity, the flow shear stress, essentially, and also the rain intensity. The rain drop impact may also cause herbicides to be released from the soil particles and go to the runoff. And then we actually came up with this pretty simple equation, a linear relationship between the mixing rate and flow velocity and rain intensity. So, and then we use these the coefficients that you saw in the previous slide, we use them for calibration purpose. We had plenty of data to calibrate the model. 12 rain events were kind of measured for four different herbicide ingredients at two sites. And this picture shows one of the sampling sites in Northern California. And this graph shows actually the basically herbicide pollutograph for three different ingredients and the flow during one of the events at one of the sites. For model calibration, though, we didn't use the basically event-wise concentration or pollutographs during the events. Instead, we used the event mean concentration as defined by the flow-weighted load, basically divided by the total flow volume. And here are the parameters that we used in the model. Most of them, we got them. Basically, some of them were measured inside. Some of them we got from the literature. And then, as I said, the mixing, the coefficients involved in the mixing were used as calibration, and we found those values for them. And as you see here, we got a pretty relatively good match between the modeled and measured values. The top graph shows the flow volumes, or flow model works relatively good, and then the bottom one shows measured and predicted concentration of Duron during the 12 events at one of the sites. So basically, what we can do now is that we have this deterministic model, and if we assume that it works fine, we can basically pick a site, measure the parameters that we need, and then use the model to basically predict one event mean concentration or several event mean concentration as a result of several basically rain events. But the problem is, it's actually, there are some problems involved in using the model in that way. One is that the parameters are highly variable along even one single highway. For example, the slope may change along one highway, the grass slope may change, the length of the grass slope may change along the highway. Some of the parameters that we need are not really predictable, so we don't know what the rainfall pattern or the rain pattern during each event for the next, for example, in the next year or next years will be. Some of them are expensive to measure, and then some of the parameters are basically, there are uncertainties involved in them, for example, like distribution coefficient and so on. And then we basically didn't intend to use the model in a deterministic or site-specific way. We basically wanted to get some insights into what measures we can use to reduce the risk of risk due to herbicides, and to basically to answer some more general non-site-specific questions. So in order to do that, we actually used the Monte Carlo simulation. So I'll just go very quickly through Monte Carlo simulation. What it is actually we have deterministic modeling. As I said, in deterministic modeling, we have some inputs, we feed them into a model, and the model provides us with one single output. If there are uncertainties with the input parameters, then we need to have a model that can handle basically frequency distributions of inputs rather than single values for inputs. So those models are pretty complicated. And one way to go around that problem is actually to use the Monte Carlo simulation, in which a series of inputs are generated randomly using the probability density functions of each of the parameters, and then the model is run for each parameter set, and then we'll get a series of outputs where we can do the risk assessment on, or we can basically find the probability density function or frequency distribution of the output. So that's what we did. The parameters that we needed to generate are listed here. I'll not go through all of them. One thing to point out is that we, for application rate, because we wanted to have a control over it, we used it deterministically. And then the Manning roughness coefficient also were used in a deterministic fashion. in order to obtain the probability density functions or frequency distributions of parameters, we actually did a survey. 37 sites were chosen all over California. And we made that assumption that these sites were randomly chosen or representative of the situation or the condition of the state. For precipitation, we actually divided the state into two regions, and then we assumed that these three stations actually represent each of the regions, so Southern California, Central Valley, and Northern California. And then to reproduce the precipitation events, we defined these two indices. One is a duration index, which is the kind of the second moment of rain intensity with respect to time. And the second one is a intensity index, or kind of an average intensity of rain, which is the volume, the rain volume divided by the duration index. And then we came up with some functional forms representing the rain events. Other parameters, here are the way they're fitted with some known probability density functions. I know that they don't look very good, but that may be because of the small number of samples that we had. But if I plot them in a cumulative way, they kind of look better. For partitioning coefficient, we assumed that it is proportional to the organic matter content, and then organic matter content was considered as a random variable. We didn't have direct measurements of soil permeability, but we found these correlations between soil permeability and other soil hydraulic parameters. Those are Van Gennepen parameters, alpha and eta. The soil texture data, and then we had some data on the soil texture sand clay percentages, and we used them to basically find the probability density functions for soil hydraulic parameters. And a few assumptions on the Monte Carlo simulation. First of all, we assumed that the first storm will generate the highest event mean concentration, that the first, actually the first storm after the spraying generates the highest EMC. And then, I will go really quickly. I have to bypass some of the slides because I'm out of time. So this is actually the basically probability density function or the histogram of concentration of Duron as a result of 10,000 random simulations. And we used this to, we compared the probability density, the histogram with some literature data for the toxicities for algae and water flea and fish, and to find a risk. And then we basically defined this parameter FPT, frequency of potential toxicity, to be the number of events with EMCs larger than the endpoint that we found, divided by total number of events. And here is kind of the final results. Basically, this shows that the FPT values for the minimum application rate and the maximum application rate for different herbicides. So this model basically can provide us with some guidelines in which herbicides are good and safer and which herbicides are not. We also can use the model to come up with some design or management practices. For example, in cases where the grass slope is long, we can basically safely apply herbicides that the EMCs are larger and the risk are lower. But then for the cases where the grass area width is large, the risks are higher. The same thing about soil organic matter and the hydraulic conductivity. So here are my conclusions. The stochastic approach gives a powerful information to decision makers. Chemicals exhibit wide ranges of risk. Selective spraying of herbicides can reduce the risks. And application rate can play a major role. So And basically, I'm going to end my talk. I'm sorry about having to skip some of the slides. I just wanted to thank Caltrans for supporting this research, and there are several publications related to our work that we can get. Thank you very much.